All right, this is Dave and Barry from ScreenGeeks.com. Set your watches to Trauma Time. We are officially here with Lloyd Kaufman, the El Presidente, as it were, of Trauma Entertainment, 30 years of independence. Thank you so much for being with us. And to his left, Richard Taylor, the director of Adam, the amazing zombie killer.
Well, thank you for putting a pause between that. I like that.
Absolutely.
Well, made us seem more made us seem more amazing.
Hey, here comes Zach Bine.
Oh, Zach Bine.
He's the gay guy. And who else? Matt Morris is here from Landmark Cinema, Esquire.
That's right, that's right.
Esquire Cinema. So Super Tromet Hypothermia is here. Super Tromet Hypothermia. Come and be part of the event. Welcome to Tromaville. And ScreenGeeks.com, that's a major accomplishment for after 35 years of being a failed filmmaker. Lloyd Kaufman gets to be on ScreenGeeks.com. Zach, tell us what's going through your head right now. Zach Bine.
I was just thinking about the geek acts that you and I performed last night, Lloyd, in preparation for ScreenGeeks.com.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Zach. It was really good. And thank you. It was really nice that Matt Morris let us into the men's room at the Esquire Landmark Theater because...
well, Zach is on his knees right now.
What's that?
Zach is on his knees right now, so...
In preparation.
Yeah, for later tonight.
Power position.
Well, thank you again. I guess we should start the interview, right,
Let's
Ashley?
Start the interview.
That's right. Let's start this interview.
And hypothermia. Hold it. Hypothermia, Super Tromet. What was it like last night at Poultrygeist, Night of the Chicken Dead?
Very sexy and very wet.
Wow. Amazing.
Excellent. Good soundbite. Thank you for that.
That is excellent.
Lloyd, I want to ask you, when people say like what they expect independent cinema to be, they think a $30 million movie released by Fox Searchlight starring Ellen Page, something like Juno. How do you define independent cinema?
Well, I think that... you know, I am the chairman of the Independent Film and Television Alliance, which is the trade association for the independent cinema industry. And it should be it's a movie that's independently financed. That is how the description is in the trade association. But personally, I would say that an independent film is one that is made from the heart, from the soul, and from the consciousness of the filmmaker. Richard Taylor, maker of Adam...
The Amazing Zombie Killer.
Would you say I'm correct?
I agree with everything you say. Yes, Lloyd.
Let's thank you, Richard Taylor, Trauma of the Future. Matt Morris, what would you say? Isn't it, you know more about independent cinema than any of us?
Probably,
except for Zach Bine.
Yeah, no, it's something that basically it's not a big studio thing. It's something that's usually low finance. It's usually by a small group of people. But really, okay, I don't know what the hell he's doing.
Lloyd's
just snatched your purse.
But yeah, there's a lot of great little small films out there that just don't get the chance, and everybody's, you know, there's a lot of different places out there that are really trying really hard to keep this thing going and bringing stuff that doesn't necessarily, you know, it's not going to play at the mainstream. It's not going to play there. So we try to bring it in, and just different venues. Like, you know, if there's something that doesn't get released in Denver, I'll try to bring it in as a midnight movie, so people still get to see it in the big screen, because there's a lot of great stuff out there.
What did you have? What did you run last night at your fine theater, Matt?
I ran this film. It was kind of funny, kind of gross, and just amazing. It's called Poultrygeist, Night of the Chicken Dead. And we've ran other things. We've ran a few trauma films before, which have always been very well received here in Denver. So, but yeah, I mean, the thing is you know, there's just a lot of great things. Sometimes you got to really look for them, but it's always worth the time.
It was well received, but we did have a couple of walkouts, Lloyd.
Those were the people from the you know what. The meat eaters. A couple of meat eaters walked out.
A marine walked out. He was very offended.
A marine walked out.
A former marine was very offended.
No, that's impossible.
He wasn't offended by the explosive diarrhea scene. He was offended that a black man was wearing a Marine's uniform in the movie. That's what he told us, and he stormed out of the theater.
I'll forget him then. Who cares?
Semper fucked up.
Now, Lloyd, when you have movie screenings, you often have characters from your movie show up or actors from the movie show up. You have a kind of showmanship that the likes of which, you know, we've seen with William Castle or Roger Corman or John Waters. Why is showmanship so important to you?
Well, I learned everything I know from ScreenGeeks.com, of course. But I think when you're an independent filmmaker and you have no money to advertise, you need to whore for your art, basically. You need to do everything you can to promote your film. As long as you don't compromise the art, as long as you don't cut corners on the substance, as long as you do what is true to your heart, it doesn't matter what you do to raise the money or to promote your film, and unless you, other than not hurting people, you know, don't do harm, as we say. Google copied us, of course. And Supertromet hyperthermia. What do you say about how would you, in other words, what did you all do like for Richard Taylor's movies?
We get out there and wear very little clothing as we possibly can. Zach knows this as well, and we just shake it. Got to promote it.
That's how we roll in Tromaville. And Richard Taylor and Zach Bine and Ashley, I don't know where she is now, but luckily Super Tromet Hypothermia is here. We think that the, you know, the grassroots promotion is very, very important. And Troma definitely wouldn't be here for a 35th year, the longest running independent movie studio in history, I would guess, certainly in America, without the fact that the fans support us. You know, this Tromapalooza tonight, the concert to support the Troma Dance Film Festival, it's all done by fans. Zach Bine, Richard Taylor, Lindy Lovelace, what's the name?
Lindy Starr.
Oh, Lindy's back. Oh, great. But where's Hypothermia? Where did Hypothermia go?
What was it like for you when Toxic Avenger first became a hit?
When Toxic Avenger first became a hit, it was very, very awesome. You know, I think the music scene discovered it first. There was a big group. I can't remember. The guy who burned... What was the guy who burned up...
What?
Who was the guy who got burned up who loved Toxic Avenger? He caught fire on stage. Anyway, there was, what was the group?
There's a group called the Toxic Avenger.
No, but this was before. Anyway, the music people caught onto it first, and of course Lemmy from Motorhead and all that. And then, but I can't tell you really.
The Dickies wrote a song about the Toxic.
Yeah, the Dickies came later though. But when the Toxic Avenger came out, there was like a major, major mainstream group. And then, and the guy, one of the guys, actually, they had some kind of pyrotechnics, and it went amiss, and the guy caught fire.
Michael Jackson.
Oh, maybe that's it, Michael. Michael Jackson. Yes. Yeah, luckily, that's true. Luckily, nothing happened to him, and we can go see his concerts today. I'm very happy that we can see his live performances.
Why should film lovers say up yours to Sundance but go to Troma Dance?
Well, Troma Dance Film Festival was founded 11 years ago because Trey Parker, Matt Stone, and I and the Troma team were very poorly treated regarding Cannibal the Musical. And we went to Sundance, and we were shocked at how unpleasant they were toward the legitimate independent filmmakers, towards young people who were there thinking that Sundance was ground zero for independent cinema. And in fact, they were really snotty, and it was all about Harvey Weinstein and Miramax and Disney, and it had nothing to do with independence. But may I say, there's been some good news over the 10 years that we have been putting on Troma Dance in Park City. Sundance, I think, has indeed cleaned up its act. We had a lot of anti-Sundance publicity in the Salt Lake City Tribune. Troma was very often interviewed. I was interviewed there a number of times, and I think that over the years, Sundance has indeed become a lot nicer to the young people in the streets there of Park City during the festival. And the last couple of years, they actually played a greater number of independent films. And also now there is a new director of Sundance. And he has said over and over again that this year he is going to emphasize independence and art, two words which have not really been associated with Sundance. So as a result, we are in our 11th year. Troma Dance we feel we have accomplished what we needed to accomplish. Troma Dance still remains a festival where you don't have to pay to submit your movies. You can see the movies for free, and there's no VIP policy. We are moving the Sundance Film Festival to Asbury Park, New Jersey.
Great.
Also because Bon Jovi was involved with Toxic Avenger, the musical, and, of course, Tromaville, New Jersey is the center of Troma art.
You're moving to Sundance Film Festival?
We are moving Troma Dance, to Asbury Park, New Jersey. Home of the Toxic Avenger, and you know, we Richard Taylor's movies have been in Troma Dance, and Zach Bynes' movies have been in Troma Dance, and I believe Lindy's movies have been in Troma Dance.
Jack to the Max.
That's been there. I didn't know it played.
Jack to the Max is a movie about a talking penis that. You don't remember being in this movie?
No.
YouTube it, people. Jack to the Max.
Excellent. Zach Bynes and Richard Taylor, ladies and gentlemen. With Lindy. Lindy to the Max.
Now, this is just an observation, not a criticism. A lot of the films you make, fairly disgusting. My question, have you ever thought that you went too far, or was there any moments you thought, you know, maybe we shouldn't have gone quite in that direction, or this is too much?
Well, you know, when Troma makes a movie, you know, our corporate slogan is movies of the future. And, you know, you look at a movie last night, for example, Zit by Zach. That was an excellent, excellent movie. But, you know, Troma, in 1986, we made a movie called Troma's War, in which Senor Sita pops a giant pus-filled pimple. And, you know, that little piece alone kind of got our movie blacklisted. Meanwhile, last night, Zach Helms made a brilliant film with a guy popping a pimple, and it was accepted. You know, what is too far, really? You know, I think as long as you believe in what you're doing, you know, you don't, there's nothing wrong with it. It's when you copy other people. You know, recently at the American Film Market, there were like 20 different people coming into the Troma offices at the American Film Market, which is a big film convention, and they all wanted to make remakes or sequels of Jack to the Max. You know, and I thought that was pretty unoriginal, because Richard Taylor, no one's going to be able to duplicate. Oh, no, sorry. They all wanted to make remakes to Paranormal, which is a wonderful movie in which nothing happens for an hour and a half. But Mark, what do you say about all that? I mean, Matt Morris. By the way, there is a Mark Morris, a wonderful choreographer, and being a gay married man, I love ballet. So, Matt Morris, what do you say about that issue?
About...
Paranormal activity.
No.
Content.
Content never goes too far.
It's impossible to go too far.
No, I don't really believe it is to go too far, because anything that new is coming out, everybody's trying to push the limits and do something new and different. Whenever you do something that's been done before, people are bored with it. They don't want to see that. They want to see something where you cross that line. They want to see not just like tiptoe across. They want to see you jump across it. And I think that I've seen that a lot with a lot of films, and really, I think that's really the best way to go. Because if you just stand back and kind of reserve yourself, you're really holding back, and you're not really being true to yourself. So I think it's really important that you do try to push that line, push the boundaries that previous films have sent people going, well, I don't know if I want to see that. You know what? That's fine. But you're not really doing anything new and different. I think that's really holding you back creatively.
Okay. Well, I think you can also make an argument that Troma paved the way for a lot of the quote-unquote gross-out comedy today, whether it be there's something about Mary, The Hangover, whatever it is. I think that it has to start somewhere, and I think that Troma definitely paved the way for that to come through.
I think that when I saw Popo in Terra Firma, the man who had a puppet named Popo and getting peed on by a transsexual lady was... When I was 16 years old, messed me up for a good long time, and that's why I make movies the way I do now.
Yay.
Thank you, Lloyd.
Yay.
Popo. I love Popo.
And going too far also goes back to your question of showmanship, because when you don't have any money to make a movie where you can't have giant 3D Smurfs, you know, ear-fucking people, you have to, you know, have talking penises and you know, exploding diarrhea all over the walls, and that'll get your word out about your movie more so than giant 3D Smurfs.
Well, and even if it, even if explosive diarrhea doesn't get the word out, it will certainly get the turd out. Now, now recently I've been acting in people's movies. You know, yep. Neville Dean and Taylor, who made Gamer and Crank, they put me in their movies. Mark Neville Dean says that in a fair world, Zach Bryan, Richard Taylor, but Poultrygeist would have been a huge hit, but that because, you know, we're independent and we're kind of blacklisted and underground, you know, we're shunned. And, you know, Tarantino talks about us at Cannes. Peter Jackson is a big Troma fan. Takashi Miike. I got a note from, well, of course, James Gunn, who started with Troma, who has a new movie. In fact, with the new movie is with Ellen Page. I just acted in a scene with Ellen Page and Ryan Wilson, the guy from The Office. And Wilson's a big Troma fan. And they all, you know, the whole crew on, down in Shreveport, Indiana, were major, major Troma fans. I mean, it's amazing. So, you know, we have a huge reach at Troma. We just don't have any revenue.
Well, Troma has a legacy of basically
adopting... Not just a legacy. We give an arm and a legacy. Thank you. Thank
you. Well, you have a legacy for picking up these movies that essentially need to be adopted, like for example, The Children or the Dennis Hopper movie, Mad Dog Morgan. How do you decide which movies need... Like, this is going to be part of our family. Let's brand this a Troma film and make it part of the family. How do you decide which movies are Troma?
Well, I think we try to find movies. I was indoctrinated by the auteur theory of filmmaking when I was at Yale. And, you know, the auteur theory of filmmaking is the French theory that came out of the Nouvelle Vague in the 50s, propounded by Chabrol and Godard and Truffaut, who were critics at the time, and Romer, who just died, Eric Romer. And basically they said that the director of the film is the author of the film, that he, she, or it controls the movie. So we kind of take movies that are clearly a representation of the artist's soul and things that are one of a kind. So that as a result, we have 800 movies in our library, and not one of them makes any money. Yay! Zach, what do you have to say about that? Sorry. No, Zach, you cannot talk. It's Richard Taylor.
Eve's Beach Fantasy is my favorite Troma movie ever.
Thanks. Yes, very, very brilliant. At any rate, well, I'll tell you something about Eve's Beach Fantasy.
Yes.
You know, Troma's website is, in America, it's in the top 100,000 popular websites in the United States, rather, not just in America, but in the United States. And 25% of our clientele, apparently, come in through Eve's Beach Fantasy because they're looking for April porno, whatever it
yeah.
is. You know.
Oh, yeah.
So there you go.
That was actually one of the first Troma movies me and Richard watched, and we came in through each other watching Eve's Beach Fantasy.
Thank you, Matt Morris.
Next question. Growing up in Riverdale, New Jersey as a kid, I never miss an episode of the Morton Downey Jr. show. There is an episode of which is now online, and many people have been asking about it. Do you care to comment on your appearance in the Morton Downey Jr. show? I think this was 1986.
There was a the first week of the Morton Downey. Morton Downey Jr. was a guy who was sort of a blow-in-the-wind guy. He was a big liberal when the Kennedys were big, and then he switched. When Reagan came in, he switched over to being a fascist. He started a show that was sort of like a wrestling match, and I was invited onto it the first week, and it was live. And I was in Europe, and Troma accepted on my behalf. The idea was it was supposed to be a Halloween show and celebrate Troma because it was in New Jersey, and Troma's famous in New Jersey and all that. And basically it was a setup. It was like a candid camera prank. You know, it was like a punk, except the result was... The idea was that they had the audience primed to react when Troma's War, or they showed a little piece of Troma's War, which we had just shot. It hadn't been edited. And then the idea was they had primed the audience to put the thumbs down, and Downey would say to the audience, do we keep Kaufman on stage or do we kick him off? And then the audience say, yeah, get rid of him. He's no good. Get rid of him. And of course, I wasn't in on the joke. So... So I refused to leave the stage because I didn't want to walk through the... Oh, also, the audience was dressed... It was Halloween, and the audience were all dressed up in weird... some of them had guns and penises on their noses, and my wife had just given birth, and she was in the audience. And the only way to get out of the stage, get off the stage, was to walk through the audience. So I figured I would stay on the stage until there was a break or something. And then these big goons came and fought with me and pulled me off and separated my shoulder, and it was a very wild event. And then Downey went into the, you know, then there was a whole supposedly hilarious thing about Downey was trying to blame, you know, pretending who was to blame for putting on this crappy guy, Lloyd Kaufman. And it was live, so and of course everyone in the world I knew happened to be watching. You know, I go on Politically Correct with Bill Maher, nobody watches. I go on Charlie Rose, nobody watches. I go, but that stupid Morton Downey show with my doorman, the guy at the Yale Club, the, you know, the waiter there, everyone in the world saw that stupid show. But at any rate, Downey's dead, and Pat Robertson punished him. Yeah. If you don't know who Pat Robertson is, he is he's the guy who was caught in the bathroom with the young boys tapping his foot.
What would you say are the most underrated trauma movie is? You've got all these great films, not only the Toxic Avenger films, but we got Death by Temptation and Surf Nazis. What do you think is the most underrated of your films?
I would say probably one of the most underrated trauma movies is Troma's War, which was on the Morton Downey Jr. show, which is coming out on the Tro Masterpiece DVD next week.
What happened to your voice, Lloyd?
That was none other than Zach Bine.
Troma, he knows everything. He's a big Troma nerd.
Very true.
A little pig there.
Very good questions. Thank you. Appreciate it. No, good questions.
Do you have a pick?
I agree with Zach. I think Troma's War is sort of a cursed movie because we brought it out theatrically, and the MPAA eviscerated it. It came out during the time of Die Hard, and Die Hard was full of blood and serious violence. Troma's War has got goofy violence and bullet hits. And the MPAA made us cut out every... In those days, you couldn't get movies into theaters without an R rating. And in order to get the R rating, we had to cut out every bullet hit, punches. They totally eviscerated. We had a picture of it. We had a shot of a dead body, kind of a skeleton dead body. We had to cut that out. I mean, everything, every possible thing. The MPAA totally destroyed the movie. And then when it came time to bring the movie out on home video, I think the company went out of business that was distributing it, Media Home Entertainment. It's just been a cursed movie. Finally, now after 20 years, it is coming. Troma's War will be released on the Tro Masterpiece series on DVD, two discs. And maybe Matt Morris can play it someday at the Esquire.
Nice.
No, I have to agree with that. I think that is probably the most... Probably the most underrated one that I can think of off the top of my head that people have not seen. People have seen, they've seen Cannibal, they've seen all the Toxies, they've seen Surf Nazis, Class Nukem Hot, they've seen them all. But that's one of the ones that I don't think I've had anybody really tell me. Troma's War, are you going to produce that one? So I have to agree, and that this would probably be a good time here, a little bit after the DVD, so they give people a chance to get the DVD and check it out and become more familiar with it, and then probably do it here in the near future, I would say.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah, also, Troma's War predicts everything that's going on. It's got the terrorism. It's got chemical, you know, weapons of mass destruction. It's got the chemical thing. It was the first movie in history to put AIDS, you know, out there. It's very, especially now with Iraq and Afghanistan and the war. You know, we've invaded Italy and all that, and all those wars that we've put on. I think we're invading New Zealand today. Troma's War, you know, anticipated all that, and so it's. That's right. You're right, Matt. They invaded Puerto Rico. No.
Whoever's closest, we'll just start invading them, except for Mexico.
Any rate, as long as we don't invade. Ben Biz, what's the name of your company?
Ben Bizjack. Oh, Bizjack Ben Biz. Bizjack Filmco Productions is the name of my production company, but
nobody invades that.
Yeah, nobody.
Toxic Avenger 5. When do you start filming it? Is there a title yet?
We don't. We're working on a script for Toxic Avenger Part 5. It will be called The Toxic Twins. It will deal with Toxie's offspring. If you know Part 4, Citizen Toxie, Toxie gets older in all each one. He grows older. So in the fifth one, the children have become adolescent, And Toxie's getting a little old, and he's met his significant other. Sarah's got menopause, and the kids are kind of not, they're adolescent. They're not so interested in being superhuman heroes. And I'm not sure yet where it's going to go, but you know, it'll focus on the toxic twins. It might go back to Shakespeare. We're not sure because there is the Shakespearean play on which The Boys from Syracuse was based. And I can never remember the name of the one with the twins from Syracuse. One's from Syracuse and the
two gentlemen from Verona.
Yeah, No. That's two gentlemen from Troma. That's something else. There's another. I'm sure your viewers know it instantly, but I just can't remember. I'm having a brain fart. Yeah. But The Boys from Syracuse, the Rodgers and Hart musical, was based on it.
Okay. It's true what you say in your book, Make Your Own Damn Movie, that amazingly your movies, really almost every single one of them, do deal with environmental issues and social issues and actually very, very, very immediate issues that are going on in society today. Is this intentional? Do you put it in afterwards? Is this always about the inception?
The trauma movies are usually centered around an issue. Terra Firma, for example, which is also a very underrated trauma movie, nobody knows about Terra Firma. It's my most personal movie. Terra Firma was about the theme of the independent artists versus the mainstream, and Poultrygeist, Night of the Chicken Dead, of course, was a lot of themes in there, anti-fast food, anti-torturing of animals, the Indian issues, phony limousine liberals, a lot of issues in there. Movies wouldn't, I don't think the current events or the sociological issues are, it usually something gets stuck in my anus and I, until I can defecate it out, I make a movie about it. But I don't think the trauma movies would endure in the fullness of time if there weren't more universal elements. In the case of Poultrygeist, it's a very romantic movie, and it's got a lot of interesting characters and a lot of people with whom to identify. And I think it's, aside from the fact it's very good entertainment, it is a kind of a universal story, so that it is not it's not something that's here today and gone tomorrow. And unfortunately, I think a lot of today's cinema is too much based on something that's very timely but not timeless. Troma's War is timeless, so you assuming you can find it and hear about it, it is enjoyed in the fullness of time. And I think that that is very true of if I'm not mistaken of a lesbian gal and what's the name of Richard Taylor and Zach Bynes' movie?
Adam.
No. That's not even finished. This Adam movie's never going to get finished. I'm so disappointed. It looks so great, and I just don't want to finish it because I want to see it. Well, we're going to help you with that. Troma's going to help you with that. The movie that...
The Misled Romance of Cannibal Girl and Incest Boy.
The Misled Romance of Cannibal Girl and Incest Boy, yeah.
You're in that
one.
Well, I mean, it's an extreme movie, but it's timeless. I mean, you will enjoy that movie in 20 years. You will enjoy it today unless it's a little bit extreme. But, if you like Ingmar Bergman and if you like, if you like the Pollyanna movies, you will enjoy the Misled Romances of Cannibal Girl and Incest Boy.
Yep.
Matt Morris has a big erection.
All right, last question. You, in your books and also documentaries about your filmmaking, you are not hesitant to portray yourself as a cruel taskmaster of a director. You have actors crap in bags, cheese sandwiches, sleeping on the floor. You're not hesitant to portray yourself like that as a filmmaker. Do you mind that you're portrayed as this whip-lashing director? And would you prefer it the other way around? Would you want a $15 million movie where you do have craft services and sleeping bags and all the joys of big budget filmmaking?
We don't care for sleeping bags, but thanks to me, a number of our cast and crew have had to get colostomy bags. So it's a really good thing. I think the truth is the most important thing when you're writing books and making documentaries. And there's no question that the documentary called Poultry in Motion, Truth is Stranger Than Chicken, the making of Poultrygeist, in which you can see Zach Byne and Richard Taylor in action as blood boys, yes. You will see also that I'm a major asshole. And but why not show the truth? You know, these behind the scenes that you see on HBO are just puff pieces about how Mel Gibson had to survive for 2 weeks without sparkling water or whatever. You know, the students seeing the making of Toxic Avenger, Citizen Toxie, called Apocalypse Soon, the documentary, feature length, it's terrific for film students, or Poultry in Motion, or Farts of Darkness, the making of Terra Firma. And, you know, let the truth ring, because I think for film students that's much more valuable. If you go to get the DVD of Tales from the Crapper, which is a horrible movie, it's a trauma movie, it's totally wrong. But the documentary, The Thick Brown Line, the making of Tales from the Crapper, shows how I, after 30-some-odd years of filmmaking, still managed to screw up. Still, it's a very serious and interesting and educational, as well as hilarious, a cautionary tale in the Tales from the Crapper DVD. By the way, the latest book comes out, which I think mentions Richard and Zach. It is called Produce Your Own Damn Movie, my fifth book.
And, I was wondering if the next one was going to be Distribute Your Own Damn Movie.
Well, Produce Your Own Damn Movie just came out. The one after that we're working on is Sell Your Own Damn Movie. So I'm sure I will ask for the wisdom of Richard Taylor and Zach Byne. And I may also ask for the wisdom of Zach Byne and Richard Taylor. And Matt Morris probably will be able to give me a fair amount of... Because I really think that... I think what will make my next book interesting is I'm going to probably propound in a big way the fact that free content is a good idea, and that piracy is not so terrible for the independent filmmaker, and that the net neutrality, the free, open, and diverse internet is something that we must cherish and protect. And as chairman of the Independent Film and Television Alliance, we are using our treasury in large part to finance lobbying in Washington to make sure that Obama and the new head of the FCC retain net neutrality on the internet. And I think that this book may be kind of controversial, because I do believe in my heart that giving away the movies is you know, I haven't quite... You know, I'm going to look into it, but I mean, we do give away our movies, and even when we don't do it, even when our movies are pirated, as Poultrygeist, you know, I mean, trauma movies are pirated all over the world. I think that's one of the main reasons we're still around, and I think it helps us sell our films ultimately. So, you know, it should be a very interesting movie. It'll be called Sell Your Own Damn Movie.
Excellent. Last thing from the whole gang, go around, guys. I want to hear your favorite line from a trauma movie.
Old lady, dead ahead.
Oh, I'm thinking still.
I have so many, but let's see.
Could be from your own movie. You know.
I guess drop your tacos, or I'll blow your fucking heads off is pretty good.
Wendy, you fucking drunk.
Oh my god.
And then nigga, please.
Yeah, I like that one too.
Matt.
Oh, it's all in moderation, my boy.
Lloyd, did you have one you wanted to...
I can't say I have a favorite one, but I was very honored last night when I heard Zach and Richard use the wonderful line, gruesome, gruesome, you should see my mother-in-law, that's gruesome.
Oh, that's correct. I did steal, in my new movie called Adam the Amazing Zombie Killer, I steal quite a few jokes from Lloyd Kaufman, such as gruesome. Have you ever seen my mother-in-law? Now that's gruesome.
Excellent. Stole from the master.
I don't think it's stealing. I think it's a great honor and a tribute. So I'm steal away.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go. And you know, if anybody asks, I'll be like, well, I got that from the Toxic Avenger. So there you go.
Well, Lloyd, citizens of Tromaville, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yep. Hey, no problem.
Well, thank you to ScreenGeeks.com and to the Esquire Cinema in beautiful Denver.
Thank you.